Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday, so we're talking about practical Christianity. And we've been talking about red flags of manipulation or other ways of trying to get us to believe something based on something other than it comes from God. We're all vulnerable and susceptible to this. So we're not going to get into the whole, you know, that we're ever going to really become totally free from having to be sensitive to obviously the moving, the leading, the guiding, and the directing of God in our lives. That's part of our life from now on. So our goal isn't necessarily to get over it, to be so in touch with God that we don't need to depend on His moment-by-moment involvement in our lives anymore. It just becomes part of who we are. It's like when you're driving, checking your mirrors. And I use driving illustrations a lot because hopefully most of us are familiar with that. But you have, at first, it might have been a challenge to remember to check your mirrors as you're driving. And yes, some have yet to learn that. But we don't think about it as much anymore. You know, whether you're backing up or changing lanes or whatever the situation, it becomes second nature. It becomes part of your habit. It's the same thing as recognizing the need to check with God about something and then just going ahead and doing it. When we're backing out of our driveway or something, we don't, okay, I'm backing out of my driveway. What do I need to do? Oh, yeah, I need to check the mirrors. We don't do that anymore. It's as we are backing out, we check the mirrors. So it's become habit. We recognize the need, we recognize the procedure, and we do it. Likewise with red flags of any kind, whether there's a way to immediately identify the source or not, we take it seriously. Something's wrong, ask God. So we're developing that same habit and the same response. When we're talking about red flags, we're simply putting a name to something that we're already experiencing. You know, how many times have we wanted to say, man, I know I shouldn't have done that. I know I shouldn't have said that. Or I shouldn't have made that decision. It's because somewhere we knew there was a red flag that we didn't respond to. So the last red flag we've been talking about is recognizing when someone is trying to direct us, counsel us, or lead us according to their own authority in our lives. In other words, we should do something because they have authority in their lives. problem is that most of the time we've abdicated authority in our lives that we should hold on to. This is one of the big problems in a lot of Christian marriages. There's an abdication, most often, of the woman, of her God-given authority and responsibility over her life, to teachings in the church about what a wife or a woman should do, how they should behave. Not to get into marriage, but the whole concept of having a mediator, or a someone in between us and God, who's going to speak for him, is directly contrary to God's nature and desire, and clear, very clear in what Paul has written down in the scriptures, that there is no secondary communication between us and God. Since God is now one with you in your spirit, there's no room. Where in the world would anyone fit, interject themselves? So this is a critical area that we are very prone to, because if we can give or get someone to take authority and responsibility, that lets us off the hook. We will suffer the consequences, but it lets us off the hook of making our own decisions, making the right decision, whatever that means, hearing from God. We all know there's different movements in the church centering around hearing from God. Whether it's the whole idea of, well, you know, we're a Bible-believing church, or we are a charismatic church or a group, movement, whatever, or we're a prayer-based fellowship. Any of those things can be a substitute for a relationship with God. So dependent Christianity is all about learning the habits of turning to God, hearing from him, being able to test what you hear, and then following through. Knowing what God's purpose is for us is to bring us into that wholeness, that union with him. We don't need to be distracted by what others in authority that we have improperly given them say to us. I'm sure you've been in groups, as I have, that you may feel, okay, the only reason I'm here, or the only reason the leader thinks I'm here, is to fill his need, her need, to have someone to teach, to have someone to direct, to have someone to perfect their skill in leading. There's that. We've talked in other sessions about leadership. And we've written a little bit about on the blog about that. Leadership is not, it's not mandatory to have followers to be a leader. You know, look at Paul at the end of his life. Was he a leader? Everyone had deserted him. He was convinced that he had failed. in the tasks that God had given him. And yet, I think we can all agree he was a leader. Not because people were following him, even though at times they did, but because he was doing what leaders do. He was both pursuing what the projects, the plans, following through on what God had him to do, recognizing that God was using him to be an example for others. So though his focus was on, at all times, what God wanted him to be doing at any time, he also recognized that he was being used as an example of how to know God. That's what a leader is. It's not fulfilling a project or a purpose. It's knowing that you are being used as an example and recognizing that that is part of the project God has for you. So in that sense, yes, we are all leaders. And it's not that, oh, somebody's waiting for you to slip up. It's just recognizing that there will be times when God will intrude on your life, put you in uncomfortable positions. For most of us, and for many times it's some of the big, you know, any leader with a lot of followers, they'd love to just be able to let go, release, walk away from all those responsibilities. And sometimes they do. And that's where we see that they have taken on the responsibility and authority as a leader, as being responsible for their followers and having authority in their followers' lives, rather than recognizing that being used as an example is merely part of the project God has them working on, which may be their entire life. So whether you want to be a leader, whatever that means to you, or the last thing you want to be is a leader, you are a leader, because that may be an area God wants to use you in. And since God himself is a leader, his focus is on what needs to be done, and he's doing it. And when others need to be rallied to that cause, he rallies them. So if you are one with him, you too are a leader, regardless of whether you are working on that skill right now or not. When that skill, when that characteristic is used to meet our own needs, that's when the red flag happens. That's what we look for. That's what we look to recognize or be aware of when God brings it to our attention. Is, are we there to meet that other person's needs? Whatever they may be. That's not your job. I think that's one of the reasons a lot of these churches get so big, these movements, is because it's so easy. It's all about getting your needs met. Being ministered to, and for some, their need is to minister. So everybody's happy. What's the problem? There's no dependence on God. There's dependence on the church. Now, certainly with any group, there's going to be a variety. But what we want to learn to be able to recognize is, are we responding to peer pressure? Are we responding to a person's flesh? Are we vulnerable to manipulation because we don't know that we have responsibility and authority over our own lives? You know, it goes back to, if you want to get along with God, don't sit in his chair, and don't let anyone else sit in it either. There is no intermediary between us and God. No one has spiritual authority in your life other than God. Period. Now, we recognize, we've gone over many times, there is natural authority, whether it's your boss or the law, as in a police officer pulling you over if you're speeding, and that's appropriate. And also in our soul, there is supernatural authority and responsibility that we have over our soul. You are responsible for your own learning how to bring your soul under subjection to your spirit. No one else can do that for you. That's strictly between you and God. So as we are becoming more and more aware of these red flags, and it's not that we spend all our time waiting for them, especially the authority one. If God has put you in a place, your opportunity is, Lord, what do you want me to learn here? What am I doing here? Or is there anything you want to teach me? You know, draw my attention to what I am supposed to be working on. Now, there's all kinds of ways that leaders get what they want. And these ways are what we're looking to become more and more aware of. As we become less vulnerable to manipulation, to exerted authority, claimed responsibility, unreal expectations, we become aware of the truth in those situations. God reveals himself. And each situation is going to be different. But very often what will happen is you will find out what your vulnerabilities are. And that's when you can take them to the Lord and ask if it's a wound that needs to be healed, if it's a lie you're believing, and deal with the source. Someone who has their own confidence in their ability to hear from God directly and does so, someone who is confident in that relationship, doesn't need to boast about it, doesn't need to correct everyone else, and is not vulnerable to manipulation. So this is why so much of our focus is on developing that relationship with God in every area. Not so we'll have a good teaching, not so we'll understand with our mind, but so that we can do it, so that we can rely on God meeting our needs. And then as he does that, acting on what he has taught us, developing those skills, moving forward in the areas he is drawing us. Sometimes he drives us, but most of the time he draws us. So this red flag, we could say, is speaking for God. Or authoritarianism. If you get right down to it, when you are suspicious about what you're hearing, and a good way to just verify whether you know, if something just doesn't sound right but you can't really put your finger on it, go ahead and question what you're hearing. And if that response, if there's no reason for that, for that conclusion, well, this is what God has told me you must do. Okay, that's the kind of situation that turns into a cult, where the authority of God is transferred to a person. And God never does that. In other words, if you can follow a teaching, and at the root of it, it's a leader saying, because I said so, there's no objective way to conclude that other than because I said so. This is what God is going to do because I said so. This is what God wants you to do because I said so. And I know from God. I hear from God. I'm one of God's chosen people. I have a gift, so I hear from God. And he's telling you, you must do this, that, or the other thing. This is real common in groups, in churches. You know, a common concept, maybe not spoken quite so clearly, but we may often hear, I'm the leader. So God is holding me accountable for your growth. Now, that's supposed to, I think, from some perspectives, give us a sense of comfort. That, and they may even believe it, that since God wants us to grow, and our leader is saying that God is going to hold him accountable for our growth, we can then depend on our leader for our growth, because we know our leader loves God and is going to want to not be held accountable. He wants to get credit, not be held accountable for our growth. The problem is none of that is true. He is not accountable for your growth. God is not going to ask you or I, how did you help that person grow? I tell you, in the position where, for myself, just as an example, that's such a relief. Because so much, I recognize so much of what we're teaching here, some of it's fairly somewhat common, but I'm teaching it in a new way. And some of it's brand new. But it's not my job to make you understand. That's why you have God. That's his job. And I trust him because he is accountable for your growth between the two of you. Now my job is to make it as clear as I can. I can't make you understand. I can't make you do. I can't make you listen and learn. That's not my job. But I do recognize that part of my responsibility and the skill I'm working on through this project is to be clear. And hopefully encouraging and giving good feedback and motivating and hopefully being a good example of this is what it looks like to depend on God. It's possible. It's desirous. And it's not as hard as we think. Or let's say it's not as complex as we think. But I'm not at all accountable for your growth. I'm not accountable or responsible for what you do with this material. If I've misrepresented or been unclear, I just correct that. But what you've done with it, because I'm telling you the first place you take anything is to God, that's between you and God. So another common approach to leadership within the church is the whole focus on a vision for the church or a vision for this group, you know, or a purpose for the group. That's how we find out who the leader is who has the vision for the group. And if you're part of that group, you're there to support that vision. Well, once again, that is a way to get others to not question what one person is doing, or even a leadership team. You know, if the team is in agreement, then everybody else is supposed to fall into line with that. We all have a choice. You have a choice. And it's important that you maintain your ability to choose. Sometimes God will ask you to make choices that you don't understand. That's fine. He never promised that we'd understand everything He was doing in our lives. Now in your spirit, you already do. And you've already agreed to everything that's going on in your life right now. What's going on in the world financial markets? You think this is a surprise to God? He didn't go, oops, didn't see that one coming. Be patient with Him and with yourself. Go to Him. Lord, what should I be doing in this situation? I'm talking about the situation in the financial markets and in the authority, the vision in the church. So many times when there's a vision in the church, there's no room for anyone else's purpose. And that there is a perception that the only reason you're there is to fulfill someone else's vision. So when God starts to deal with you about yours, you kind of have to choose. Am I going to not follow my vision because it doesn't line up with what the vision is here? Or do I have to leave to follow my own vision? And we'll have to get into that some other time. If you've got any questions, feel free to drop me a line at nc.diane@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. See you tomorrow, 7 o'clock a.m. Have a good week.